KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
It's one of those super extended holiday weekends, right? A lot of people taking Friday off, but you know, as you get closer and closer to a weekend like this, maybe your workplace is similar. There's fewer and fewer people around. It's kind of like the end of the year or Christmas or Easter or something. I don't know. But another holiday weekend on the way. And you know, we wanted to let you know about some resources that we have for you when you tune into the station or where you find us on Facebook. And, you know, later in the month, we'll hope to have this in our Action Center. But let me tell you about something that Focus on the Family has done. And the website, if you just want to head there yourself, is Family. 250.org. Family250.org. We've pinned it to the top of our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KLYT883, or just search KLYT on Facebook, or use the icon on our website at KLYT.fm to go to our social media with Facebook. And there you'll find, from Focus on the Family, 16 episodes of Adventures in Odyssey that focus on things concerning our nation, ways to, and I would say the founding, some of it's the founding, but I know there's a couple of episodes on Abraham Lincoln. There's a few episodes on Sergeant York and other patriotic messages found in Adventures and Odysseys web, you know, the link at family. 250.org. They're doing that in conjunction with the Freedom 250 initiative from the White House, and cooperating as being part of that. So along with those episodes of Adventures and Odyssey for the family, there's also The Legend of Squanto, which Focus on the Family's radio theater did years ago. All of it, quality content, and we hope you'll go find that. Some other things coming up over the weekend. On Saturday, we air the Bible School of the Air. Chuck Smith verse-by-verse teaching, Skip Heitzig some verse-by-verse teaching. The second hour of that Bible School of the Year, the 1 o'clock hour, is Frank Turek, content typically from his cross-examined YouTube page. And this week, we're going to share a message he did with Federer, a conversation, I should say, with Bill Federer. Deist or Christian, who were the 56 men who founded America? That's over the weekend. Jack Hibbs as well on the same theme. Sunday morning, part of the Gospel Brunch. Gospel Brunch starts with the appetizer at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. Selected teachings that we do from some teachers that we do not air regularly. But Jack Hibbs, of course, heard regularly on KLYT. But his message, one man, one nation, one God. That'll be part of the Gospel Brunch, the appetizer at 8 a.m. And then, of course, the main service being the main course of the Gospel Brunch at 11:30 every Sunday morning. And the third course, Paratus, is from Veritas International University. They're continuing to look at inerrancy, common objections this week. And then the end of the Gospel Brunch on Sunday. Always good to end a great meal with a fantastic dessert. And we're doing that by featuring content from Tiffany Hudson, brand new project she has called When You're in the Room. So that's just some things coming up over the weekend we wanted you to be aware of. And listen, when you go to our website, don't forget about the summer camp, the Bible camp and VBS guide in the Action Center. That's always a great resource to you. All right, I've talked enough. Coming up for the rest of the hour, we're going to be visiting with Carla Sontag. Carla is with BetterTogetherNewMexico.org and the New Mexico Business Coalition, NMBiz.org, or NMBizCoalition.org. Carla, thanks for taking the time to join us. I saw you earlier this week at the life celebration, really, of a legend in our community. And with the work that you do in the business community, I'm kind of bushwhacking you here, but any words you want to share about Mark Tobiasen, the late husband of our state senator, Nicole Tobiasen?
No, because I'll get emotional, but yeah. I will tell you that Senator Nicole Tobiasen is doing a great job of getting through this.
Yeah.
She put on a beautiful celebration of life for Mark. And
it's a beautiful service.
Yeah.
Really,
I don't know
was.
How she did it. He was very sick for 8.5 months, and she took care of him, but she also kept up with her senatorial duties. She's an amazing woman, and she spoke at the event, the celebration of life. I have so much admiration for her.
Pray for the Tobiasen family. I will tell you, for those who didn't know Mark, Mark and Nicole founded Action Coach, a local business that coaches local business leaders. And I will tell you, I was acquainted with Mark. I mean, you know, we knew who each other were. And my memories of Mark, I told a few people at this event, I said, you know, Mark fulfilled the biblical definition of the word meek. And for those who aren't familiar, power under control. He was an encourager, and he invested in our community. And I would say he was a co-laborer with us in that, because that's something that we continue to do. And Carla, it's great to have you on every week, that we can walk through some of the things happening, not only with the business community, because you actually represent two nonprofits. I mentioned nmbiz.org, New Mexico Business Coalition, and Better Together New Mexico. For those maybe unfamiliar with each organization, can you kind of lay the groundwork on what it is each of them do?
Yeah, so the New Mexico Business Coalition is strictly focused on better business policy. We want to make it easier for businesses to thrive in New Mexico, create jobs so people can feed their families.
Yeah.
Better Together is the organizing arm, and we have organized like-minded groups throughout the state, and we cover the full gamut of any issue that impacts your life, from agriculture to abortion and everything in between, gun rights.
Yeah,
that's Better Together. It's just also focused on policy, but both organizations are going to be heavily engaged in the upcoming election process. Just getting good quality information to the voters.
Well, I want to jump into our first topic, something most of us, I mean, if you're on social media, because of the way that works, it knows where you live and it's going to shoot you stories about local things happening. And I don't know if we'll have time in this first segment to get all the way through this content, but the recent information about the DEA and fentanyl coming across the border and what have you. But the truth is, regardless of all that, the thing really to be aware of is that New Mexico is the number one state in the nation for fentanyl overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
There's the setup. I'll throw it to you on the issue of fentanyl here in our state. I'm a little bit acquainted, but I'll go into that a little bit.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. But a few years ago in 2023, the federal government under Biden decided that they wanted to try to get the kingpins of the fentanyl coming into the state. And so they were releasing the drugs into New Mexico, into society, trying to find out the leads on who's bringing it. So they allowed this to happen. It increased the number of deaths. It increased the amount of drugs on the street. And it created a lot of havoc. And our U.S. attorney, Alex Ubaez, who recently ran for mayor, was a part of that operation. And sadly, he bragged about that as being a successful operation when he was running for mayor, and it was anything but that. We lost good New Mexicans. We increased the addiction level in our state.
Yeah.
And No good has come of it. Now, the story was suppressed, and people have only just found out about it because the Associated Press, an investigative reporter, put together the information. They found the documents, and they have published them and made people aware of it. It's a sad state of affairs when that's how we find out, but it's even sadder that we had a native New Mexican involved in this, thinking that it was a great thing when it was not. And now our elected officials are holding press releases and making this a press opportunity, saying they're going to demand money from the administration. But they're criticizing the current administration, who had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, it started during the Biden administration.
It was completely under Biden. In fact, that's who appointed Ubaez to his role. And when Biden left office, Ubaez left office, and that was stopped.
Forgive me if I missed it. Did we mention Ubaez before now by name?
Yeah, Alex Ubaez. Okay. He is the U.S. attorney in New Mexico and ran for mayor recently. So.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, very much involved in this sting operation that went south and hurt New Mexico tremendously, because now we've still got these drugs all over the streets and people still being hurt. And as you said, number one in the nation for fentanyl death.
Yeah, and the truth is, I mean, it's not hard to find anyone in the state of New Mexico that in their sphere of influence, in their circle of people, isn't connected with someone who has been impacted by this. I have at least one dear friend in law enforcement who lost a son to this, a son who had recovered from other addiction. And this was, you know, a third overdose that he didn't recover from. But that's not unusual. I don't think that's unusual in New Mexico with what's happened and how much there. And for those not familiar with, we've talked a little bit on the air with some of the people who come in studio to talk about recovery programs. Mm-hmm. There's people who actually, you know, I mean, it's inexpensive, so it's easy to get, and it's deadly. It's also being used by others, towards others, nefariously, put into other drugs or put places that, you know, the innocent can contact it. And it is very serious or deadly. So it was a serious thing that happened. And I don't know if you have an answer for this, Carla. Is there a place, if someone was like, I'm not familiar with it, is there a place you would send them to get updated on the story going back to 2023?
We have not done that yet, but we're putting the information together and we should have it up on our website in a couple of days, because I think people should really absorb the history of what happened in New Mexico and not just listen to those who are jumping up and down and screaming right now about it's all Trump's fault.
I don't know this. I'm going to guess that some of those that are jumping up and down, I mean, we should be, you know, concerned at what happened.
It was a horrible situation.
It would not surprise me, based on what we've seen, if some of the people jumping up and down were well aware of what was going on when it was going on. Now that it's made public,
they're denying. Many of them are denying that they knew anything.
Yeah.
But my question is, why didn't you know there was a problem? Why didn't New Mexico see that there was a flood of fentanyl on the streets, increased addictions and deaths? We should be monitoring that regardless of who's behind it.
Yeah.
We should know that in our law enforcement agencies and others and government. And so this whole thing bothers me from the top down at the federal level and at the state level and local. I mean, even our local governments should have been more aware.
Yeah. Any action moving forward?
Well, I mean, that's to be seen. Our state officials are saying they want to sue the government and demand retribution for the deaths. And I don't think that's so much the answer. I think we need to get to the bottom of it. You know, the DEA and the other federal agencies that were behind this, some have defended their decision because it might have worked, but it didn't work, and they doubled down on it. So when you see failure happening, to go in further and release more drugs maybe isn't the answer.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is what happened. I think what I read in a story was essentially what's being said is they were aware of it coming over the border and who was bringing it over the border, but they wanted to monitor those people to, you know, get the big fish.
Right.
And it's hard for me to be super critical when I'm not in law enforcement and understand, you know, how all of that works. But the truth is, several people have died, several people have overdosed, and our community is clearly in the midst of a situation where there's a lot of people walking through addiction, and it's having an impact on business and on our families.
Ongoing problem, yeah. And we have not cleaned it up yet. And that needs to be the focus rather than finger pointing and blame.
Right.
We need to clean it up. And then we need to go back and we need to find out who was behind this and how the decisions were made so that we don't repeat history.
Yeah, it's the what happened, how did it happen, and how do we keep it from happening again? All right, well, we're up against a break. Any more on the fentanyl story, or are we moving on after the break?
I think we're moving on.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We have plenty to talk about in the hour with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. Those websites, again, are nmbizcoalition.org and bettertogethernewmexico.org. We'll be back right after the break on ABQ Connect. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We regularly have Carla Sontag in with us to walk us through things happening in the community, whether it's the business community with New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbiz.org or nmbizcoalition.org, or bettertogethernewmexico.org. And last time, Carla, we talked about a proposal in the North Valley for a 45,000 square foot mosque and community center in the North Valley. And it raised a lot of hubbub, and actually it continues literally today. We had planned to talk about kind of an update on the situation, but literally as we speak, right, people are meeting to discuss this.
They are just now getting to public comment. They started at 9 a.m. We've got Larry Sontag there representing the business community and others.
Well, the last time that they had something like this, they had to cut it short.
Yeah.
Right?
They actually postponed it until today.
Yeah.
Because they said they didn't have enough room for the people in the room. So this time, the room, I understand, is pretty full of people who want to comment. This is a huge thing to put in the North Valley. It's supposed to go at 2nd and Alameda, right behind a marijuana store and across the street from two gas stations that sell alcohol. So the simple zoning answer is that's not allowed. They don't allow alcohol and marijuana sales within 300 feet of a religious facility. So the people in the North Valley don't want any more traffic.
Yeah.
We don't have the infrastructure
to get
people across the bridge.
These poor people deal with Balloon Fiesta once a year.
Yes.
I'm not in the North Valley a lot, but I'll tell you when I'm there, and it's probably, you probably know more about the zoning than I do. I mean, I graduated in a town in California, it'd be similar to like a Berlin or a Los Lunas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the speed of the North Valley.
Yes.
It's a rural in the suburban, in the midst of the suburban area.
It is. It's right by Corrales. And it's just a lifestyle for New Mexico. And we've got so much congestion coming in. Balloon Fiesta, they're talking about opening up a soccer field there and doing other things at Balloon Fiesta. And the people who have lived there for centuries, literally, many generations of family, they don't want any more congestion down there. And we love the North Valley the way that it is.
Yeah, and they anticipate something like this would also probably go into that area where people are concerned about how the noise would impact nearby homes.
Absolutely, and the parking. I don't know, with that size facility, they must need some tremendous amount of parking. And it's just hard to imagine, but I do go through that area on Alameda all the time.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. And when you get congested on Alameda, that means that they will, the traffic then moves to Paseo and Montaño. It backs up the entire city.
Yeah.
And we see that during Balloon Fiesta, but it's also like that almost every morning and evening in rush hour traffic.
Yeah. I'm going to ask the question because it came to my mind, and I'm thinking a listener may be having the same question. When I do go down Alameda specifically, sometimes I look at the lay of the land, and it's almost like the city planners were like, eventually we're going to need to widen this. Do you see that? And do you happen to know, is that anything that is, you know, actively being talked about, or do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, but I will tell you, on the area that goes from the North Albuquerque area, North Albuquerque Acres down towards the freeway, I don't know how they're going to widen that the way that they've done it, the twisty, windy road that it is. And then in Alameda, yes, I think they hopefully planned for that. I don't know what their plan is, but widening it, that would be helpful for traffic, but again, not nice for the community.
Right, especially when they're building it out.
Yes.
But at any rate, now, even during this show, if we get, you know, a text or an update, you know, we'll see what we can do to let people know what was discussed today. But in the meantime, make sure to go to nmbizcoalition.org. Will it be posted on both sites or primarily on NMBiz?
It should be on both. Okay. Under Take Action. And I'll tell you, we've had over 1,500 people sign our petition.
Uh-huh.
And there was another petition from the community itself, and they had about 1,500 signatures. There are a lot of people that do not want this. This meeting right now today is not before the commission. It's before the planning and zoning. And we're hoping it will stop there, but we're not sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm gonna address the elephant in the room. You know, there's some that are for this that are saying, you know, any opposition is Islamophobic.
Oh, right.
That may be the case that there are some. But I would certainly say it's you know, you could be trying to build a Christian or Jewish community on that kind of square footage in that area, and it would run up against similar, if not exactly the same kind of pushback.
It's totally not about the religion. It's about the congestion. It's about the neighborhood. And that's why we never brought it up. It wouldn't matter. If it were a super Walmart, there would be the same issue and the same opposition. So it's not about what they want to build there. It's about the size and the number of people and how it's going to impact the community.
Yeah. Well, and as I said, if there's more information, we'll share it as it becomes, either during this hour or on the websites at nmbizcoalition.org or bettertogethernewmexico.org. When you walked in today, I mentioned the primary up in Colorado, and there's other things going on around the nation with elections. And we're seeing things obviously happen in our own state when it comes to the growth of the progressive socialist leaders in our communities. We're up against a break. When we come back, can we talk a little bit about that? Including, if you're listening, when you say socialism, what do you mean? Because I think some people, there's words are important, and people use, you know, people use the wrong words often to describe others. We've seen that on both ends of the political spectrum and in the ideological spectrum. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, we're up against a break. We're going to do that and come back with more on ABQ Connect. All right. Hey, ladies, put this on your radar. Starting next Tuesday, Sheology, Summer of Renewal at Calvary Church Albuquerque. Tuesday nights, starting the 7th through the 28th of July at 6:30 each Tuesday night, a weekly gathering designed to give women the space to slow down, reconnect, and actually reconnect with God's Word, and experience meaningful moments of worship, teaching, and community. Sheology Kids program is not going to be available during the Summer of Renewal, so make plans for that. Children are welcome to attend and experience the evening with you in the Green Belt each week if you like. And it is a ladies-only event. Hopefully that doesn't need to make its way to the Supreme Court too soon. Anyway, more info and registration at Sheology.com. There's one in every room, you know, right?
Yeah,
right, Carla?
Sometimes it's you.
You know, we're seeing things in headlines with, you know, I mentioned going into the break, primaries happening across the country. We're obviously on the primaries in the rearview mirror, and we are looking to November. We can talk more about that in a little bit. We're seeing this rise in socialism in American politics. Honestly, I'm seeing some of it in the church. Not where I attend, but I'm seeing it.
Yes.
And for those that are listening, you know, Carla, for the sake of our conversation, when you say socialism, can you define what you mean when you say socialism? I mean, we should be able to go to Webster's or Oxford or whatever, but the truth is people use, you know, they define some of these differently to meet their current conversation.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is a political structure where the government is the mommy and daddy that takes care of the people. So they are the ones that decide what is good for you, what is not good for you. They make the payments, and they want everybody to be equal. So there's no longer the American dream of doing better, working hard and moving up and taking care of your family. It promotes a dependence on government that only grows with government, and it destroys democracy as we know it.
Yeah. You know, when I think of those, the social programs that are overseen by our federal government, in the history that I know, I think back to FDR and the New Deal. I don't know enough to know, well, what was the intent back then? Looking forward, was it to create programs that, you know, help people, give them a hand up, not a hand out, you know? And I know, based on my history is, you know, in my family with my wife and my kids, at a young age, we used some of those programs.
Mm-hmm.
Our intent was to, well, feed our family. And I will tell you this, at the time, I was working three jobs. And you know, my wife stayed at home and invested in our kids. That's what we wanted to do.
Right.
And some people say, well, you know, figure out something else, get her to you know, go get an income, which eventually she did, but not before we got off of the federal program. And I think, you know, hopefully that, you know, with those programs, that was the original idea.
And that is what the government should be doing. The government should be taking care of our common needs, our hospitals, our roads, infrastructure, water, pipelines, things like that. And they should take care of the people who need help.
Well, and to that point, I want to bring in, because on this program. I there's a chance to bring Jesus into the conversation. I want to. And I've said it before. You've probably heard me say it. The church is responsible and should, you know, and hand it over some of that responsibility, whether it's widows or orphans or those in need. And the church really needs to pony up. It didn't stop, you know, what God says in his word didn't stop in the 40s or the 30s.
Yes, and, you know, people need to do their part, too. If they're believers,
yeah,
we should be tithing to the church to allow the church to step in and help.
Let me finish this thought real quick because I want to drive people to nmlove.org. NMLove.org is one of the ways that the Big C Church in our community is working to take care of some of those things. So let me give you that resource, lovenm.church. And I apologize, I did cut you off. I want you to finish your thought.
No, that's okay. I'm just saying that I have nothing against government doing something, but you're right that the church needs to do its part, but the people, the believers, the Christians, yeah, they need to do their part.
Yeah.
They, you know, Jesus asked us to tithe, and that's 10% of our income should go to the church in order to help the church help those who need it.
And, you know, one of the things that's we've seen happen over the recent years is this growth in the progressive movement. You mentioned the last time we were in here, the entity Emerge. For those who missed that, can you kind of review that again?
So it is a nationwide group. It's got a chapter here in New Mexico. New Mexico is their shining star. They are set up to recruit, engage, train, and get elected women who subscribe to their platform, which is a move to socialism. The socialism that we talked about at the beginning, that is the government taking over and providing from cradle to grave what they think are the needs of the people. The problem with that, if you ever study history, go back and look at what country has ever been successful with that type of socialism. It just doesn't work. Now, In the United States, people say, well, we've got Social Security and that's socialism. Is it? I mean, we pay into it, and
we have social. But and I saw something recently. I think on Facebook, are they talking about changing the whole name of that program, calling it some kind of a benefit? Because have you heard this?
No.
Okay. And maybe it's something that's, you know, I didn't dig into it yet, so I don't know if that's just someone stirring up, you know, hornet's nest. But yeah, I mean, that's money that came out of our earnings that we essentially are loaning to the federal government while we continue to work until we end our time. I hesitate to say retire, because often on this show, speaking to Christians, we brought up the term rehirement, to be repurposed after you're done at your 9-to-5. But when you're done at your 9-to-5, it's supposed to be there. And, you know, it's always been in my adult life, conversation, is it going to be there? And, you know, what was promised when these programs start and what they end up being seem to be two very different things.
Well, the problem is, it's like many government programs, it's completely mismanaged, and they are not using the money for those of us who worked and paid in.
Yeah.
It was meant to help people who were injured or incapacitated from being able to work. And I get that. But it has spread now. There are people that are not legal residents that are collecting Social Security.
Was it meant uniquely for citizens?
Yes, absolutely. U.S. citizens, because we're the ones funding it.
Yeah.
But it was meant to help widows and children if they needed the help. And that's okay, but it's expanded well beyond that to people who are capable of working, who are not working and collecting. That's the reason the system's going bankrupt, because of the mismanagement.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good system the way they put it together anyway.
And I would include the illegal immigrants that you mentioned in those that the church should be caring for, not condoning illegal activity. But when people are thirsty and hungry, you know, the true needs are met.
Right.
And as far as I'm sitting here thinking, some people may be listening and thinking, you know what? I hope I get my Social Security, but if I don't, Jesus is on the throne. True that. Amen that. Comma. However, we are called to be good stewards of the resources given to us. And it's important that we not only learn to be better and better stewards of the resources given to us, but we hold those accountable that have our resources. I'm thinking of Social Security when I bring that up. So it is something that as Christians we should be aware of, we should be speaking to, and making sure that what's happening is honoring God.
Right, and that takes us back to Emerge. And, you know, their platform is to move to socialism, not a healthy thing for a democracy.
Yeah.
And again, if you look at history, there isn't a country you can point to where socialism has been a great success. Yeah.
You know, there's also not a country you can point to that, like the United States, has had its founding documents and kept them as the source to go to for how to run the federal government, and we're at 250 years now. And now the source I get for that, I was just watching a video with Jack Hibbs. I believe it was on some audio we'll be playing this weekend at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning as part of the Gospel Brunch. But is it true that the socialism movement we're seeing in the United States, and let's say here locally, namely the New Mexico Party for Socialism and Liberation, is their goal? I mean, is the Constitution something they want to abide by, is it anywhere in their documents, their founding documents, that you know they want to fundamentally change how we govern our country, that to throw out the Constitution, to throw out, you know, all these things that that are part of the American experiment.
Yeah, they want it gone. That's the problem. And so Emerge, as they recruit and train and get elected, women that follow that, and it is just women. They don't take in men into this program, but they have trained over 500 women in New Mexico. We've got 140 currently in office.
Yeah.
They now have the biggest voice in the legislature, both in the House and the Senate. And the reason for that is if you cross them, you will be their next target. And they will try to get an Emerge to take you out of office, whether you're Republican or Democrat, where they can. Now, they are working hard to get a supermajority because what they want next is to redistrict where no Republican can ever win again. Here's the problem. We've been under one-party control for 90 years.
In New Mexico.
In New Mexico.
Yeah.
And look where we are.
Now, I personally believe I agree with that. Speak to those that say, oh, we had some Republican governors along the way.
We did, but we didn't have control of the Senate and the House. Now, there was 2 years where we had a Republican governor and 2 years where we had Republicans in the majority in the House. But they still couldn't get anything done because they couldn't get agreement with the Senate. Now, we are nonpartisan. Don't care the party.
Yeah.
We care about the decisions.
And you know what? I'm giving my own personal thoughts on some of this. And let me say this for those who are listening. I'm a registered Republican, but I'm considering something else. And the reason I registered Republican was so I could vote in the primary. And actually, if you dig into my social media, you'll see that I say I'm actually a monarchist, but I'll vote conservative until King Jesus comes. I always want to bring him back into this because that is the worldview that I use when I go to the polls, when I have conversations about things impacting the public square. And that's what I would encourage us to. And let me say also this, for those that are hearing the doomsday stuff about the, you know, others that are trying to undo this great American experiment and set up something brand new that's very reminiscent of countries like Cuba, Russia, China. I understand this as well. There's no promise that the United States of America will be here for any length of time. However, as a Christian, just looking at history, the church flourishes under persecution, and the church is being persecuted. Maybe not to the extent or differently than it might be in Nigeria or, you know, wherever else in areas of the world that are seeing great persecution. Just last week, I believe, a pastor and several others were killed overseas. Rabbit hole. I'm not going to go down that. We'll have a conversation on that another time. But God is on the throne. That doesn't mean we stick our heads in the sand when it comes to these issues and these discussions and things impacting our families, our counties, our cities, our state, and our nation.
The Bible is the best guide for how to govern, and that was written or overseen by God himself. When Jesus walked the earth, he never talked about having dictators. He never talked about government providing everything for you, but he did ask us to govern ourselves until he returns. He's not back, and we should be governing according to his word, looking at everything through a biblical Christian worldview. And when you get into socialism, you're not doing that.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're up against a break, and I don't want to cut you off. Before we go, any more on the topic?
Well, we can tie that into the nation's 250th birthday.
Okay, we'll do that after the break?
Yes.
All right, we're going to come back and do that right after this on ABQ Connect. All right, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. When we went to the break, actually, Carla mentioned the celebration of our semi-quincentennial, the 250th birthday of the United States. I mentioned at the onset to the show that this weekend there's some great programming coming up. I'll go through it much more briefly than I did at the beginning of the show. Join us over the weekend to hear a few different messages. On Bible School of the Year, Frank Turek in the 1 o'clock hour is going to have a conversation with Bill Federer. It's actually already on his website or on his YouTube channel for Cross Examine. Deist or Christian, who were the 56 men who founded America during the gospel brunch, the appetizer at 8 a.m. Sunday morning, Jack Hibbs' message, One Man, One Nation, One God. And then we've put it on our Facebook page some ways to listen to episodes from Focus on the Family's Adventures in Odyssey that reflect on the history of our nation. Those 16 episodes available to view at no cost. And you can also check out, in addition to that, The Legend of Squanto from Focus on the Family's Radio Theater. So really, this weekend, plenty of ways to consider our nation's 250th. And you have any big plans, Carla?
Not really. We've just got some things with friends and family, and we're looking forward to having an extra day off.
Yeah. Well, in regards to the 250th anniversary of our nation, what thoughts did you want to share as we kind of get ready to put a close on our? We got about 5 minutes.
Well, I just want to say happy birthday to us, to all of us in the U.S. And I hope that people will think about this in somewhat of a solemn way about the accomplishment of making it 250 years. Some democracies don't make it that long. There is a push to take them out. The newer, the fragile ones, they often fail. But if we have economic policies that work, if we have a strong economy, strong institutions, and good education, we can make it. The things that cause failure are economic crisis, and we've kind of got one going on right now. Polarization. We look at the fighting going on within the United States between the different sides. And then we've got elected leaders eroding our norms. And that's what we were talking about earlier with this takeover of our legislature and our state government. We have got to be very cognizant. And I want people to realize there is a solution. If you want to learn more, posted only on bettertogethernewmexico.org, all spelled out, you can read a series that I'm posting on what is happening with Emerge. I'll do at least five. I've got three posted so far. They don't come out every week. You have to watch for them or look for them on the website. It's in the news tab and they're pinned at the top. You can go and look at those. And then I've got some accompanying podcasts that I did not do. They're by other people. That is another resource. I think it's important to understand what's happening to our country, to our state, and to take it very, very seriously because this is a state and a country we're saving. But if we're going to save it, we're going to have to get active and understand what's happening and take action. In November.
And the way to save it, you and I both know, is belief in the gospel of Jesus and to watch people live with a biblical worldview and be active in the public square and apply those truths to the issues we're talking about in the roundhouse and over dinner. Politics at dinner, there you go. But you know what? To have civil conversations. I miss that. I'm old enough to remember the 80s. And I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again, though. When Ronald Reagan could reach across the aisle to Tip O'Neill, and they would disagree on very, very much. But they would find something that was good for all the people, and they would work on that together. There wasn't the divisiveness that you mentioned. It wasn't there. Some of that is us not only acting and speaking, but praying for our nation's leaders. And you know what? I'm sure if you go to the National Day of Prayer website, it's not something that you know it's just there one day a week or one day a year. If you go to their website, you'll find prayer points on how to be praying for our nation, and much of it begins at home with Jesus in the home, and making sure that you're connected with a body of believers that will hold you up and encourage you in the midst of all the things that we're going through. And, you know, I got to say, Carla, I so much appreciate Better Together New Mexico and the work being done to encourage those that live here in the state. And whether it's Better Together New Mexico or New Mexico Business Coalition, we've got a minute or so. I wanted to give you a chance to remind people about some of the things coming up that they don't want to miss and they'll find on the website.
Yes, our annual Heroes event where we recognize the families of fallen first responders. We'd love for you to participate with us in that event. It's very touching and a beautiful event. But look at the news on our websites and stay informed. I think God has given us the best guide he can in the Bible and how to govern, how to treat other people the way we want to be treated. We need to get back to that civility.
Yeah, I love it. Carla, thanks to you. Thanks to Larry. Larry, your husband, was at that meeting today that we mentioned earlier in the show, and all the others working so hard at both organizations. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.